show dedicated to the liberating trickster in all of us that comes alive in times of danger, likes against all odds. So this is Full Moon Crow Lunar Eclipse Radio Participatory Sizzle. This waxing full moon, sometimes called the worm's moon, because the worms are stirring, we like them too, but it's also called the crow moon. It's perfect for our guest. So it's the full moon waxing tonight, tomorrow, and if, in case you're listening to this afterwards, full moon lunar eclipses. Whoops, just adjusting things here. Never mind me. There we go. Okay, I'm back. It's thought of as resonating for a good 6 months, right? So if you're hearing this now, that's great. And if you're hearing this in Los Angeles on Friday, that's great too. It's all participatory. So it's Mercury stationing late on Friday, Venus descending into the underworld, and we with her, him, Venus, has many pronouns, right? It's Quetzalcoatl in Mesoamerica, it's Inanna in Middle East. So what we say with Gandalf, the tide is turning, the great storm is coming, but the tide has turned, right? I did just sneak out with a friend to see the movie Flow again on a large screen in an actual movie theater, and it's so wonderful. Again, how to navigate a collapsing world. It's beautiful. We will weave it into everything. So there's so much with which to cahoot. So welcoming fellow Sun in Libra, Venus in Scorpio, Moon in Virgo, Ellie painted crow because the Moon is in Virgo. Now it's the medicine moon, the writer's moon, the language crafting moon, the ritualist moon. Ellie is of Yaqui Maya lineage, activist, founder of Turtle Women Rising, Indigenous Women's Drum Circle, ceremonialist, constellator of women's talking circles, 22-year retired Army veteran, co-founder of Service Women's Action Network, and support for military women who have undergone sexual assault. She is author of Why You Matter, Simple Path Towards Wellness, Balance via Indigenous and Western Healing Practices, and her website is turtlewomenrising.live. So we met a long time ago, Ellie, catching each other's eye, I think, at a Code Pink thing where there was something not big sketchy, but a little sketchy going on. And I looked up and saw that somebody else was seeing this. and it was you.
Yes.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, that's better. That's better.
Yeah, I don't know if I got this audio thing right, but hopefully you can hear me. And yep. Yes, I remember that day. It was a wonderful day, actually, at the end.
Yeah. Well, and then I just wanted to do a little homage to your beautiful chart, just to bring that part of you in for all of us. Your moon in Virgo, me too. We're both born at the dark of the moon. But the image for your moon in Virgo, it's the same degree as Marie Laveau's sun, the great voodoo queen of New Orleans. And the image is a woman gives each of her children a loaf of bread and a spike of barley and sends them out into the world. The limitless ways that one's inherited spiritual values can find manifest expression. Fearless venturing into the world while rustling many papers, we can hear that, dispelling evil and darkness with the light of one's inner goodness. And we go, that's super wonderful. I love your moon. I love so much of your chart coming alive. I love your dedication to carrying lineage of mentors. And we go, that's really great. So, yeah, I'm delighted to cahoot with you because there's so much to work with. Let me just put the lunar eclipse fact and then we pull metaphor from it. So a lunar eclipse tonight, it will be in totality at 11:56 p.m.-ish West Coast time. it's a precise full moon where the sun projects the Earth's shadow onto the moon. We see shadow. We see what has been hidden. There's a lot for all of us to work with on that. Already the judge has said, oh, Elon Musk, you must reveal, you know, you're all that you've held secret. And it's like, yes, more of that. And then the moon emerges, bright, cleansed, and frisky, kind of full of medicine. So, as I said to you, Ellie, you know, this is two Librans, democratic, participatory radio. Feel free to chime in or go wherever you want, you know, whatever. But do you have things that you would, that have been hidden, that you would like us all to see?
Well, I want to share... I want to invoke, first of all, is John Trudell, because he had a lot to say about what is happening now, way back when, and just invite people to look him up, because there's lots of words of wisdom, and just call his spirit here today, because he was a stand for the earth and the people. So I just want to point that out, that he is one of my heroes. Actually, I never met him, but I like what he had to say. And, he was a stand for the earth and the people.
Well, we have a song of his that we're going to cue up right now, his song for Grandmother Moon, which is perfect. But everything's humming, so people's charts respond even when they're ancestors, even when they're dead. So his son in Aquarius, like David Graeber, like your rising sign, Ellie Painted Crow, Jupiter right now in the sky is right on his Uranus. His sparkling liberating self, and that's also on top of the U.S. Uranus, again holding it to its standards. There we go. So we have a John Trudell Grandmother Moon song to play. Here we go.
I was listening to the voices of life, chanting in unison, carry on the struggle. The generations surge together in resistance to meet the reality of power. Mother Earth embraces her children and natural beauty to last beyond oppressor's brutality. As the butterfly floats into life, we are the spirit of natural life, which is forever. The power of understanding, real connections to spirit, is meaning our resistance, our struggle, is not sacrifice lost. It is natural energy, properly used. One time, I was visiting with my relatives. The clouds, the mountains, the sky, the trees. My relatives touched my spirit, nudged it lovingly. Listen to us, impatient one. We are forever. You must remember the gentleness of time. You are struggling to be who you are. You say you want to learn the old ways. Struggling to learn when all you must do is remember. Remember the people. Remember sky and earth. Remember the people have always struggled to live in harmony, in peace. Struggle against selfishness and weakness so the people may live as nations. The old ways are hard. The people have always had to work together. Remember, impatient one, remember and live. Do not be afraid of truth. Respect, discipline, share your life so the people may live. Honor sky and earth. Honor yourself. Honor your relations. Remember, impatient one, the gentleness of time. Grandmother Moon, you are more than light in the night. You are more than the moon. You are spirit connection. Your energy is our life. You are memories to generations past. You are the creator of sensations that will always last. You are the knowledge, the teacher, the influence to keep the people sane. You are a healer for spirit pain. Grandmother Moon, we love you, and we are angry at the invaders who trash you and violate our universe with their mechanical uncleanliness. We pray for you, for us, and for the invader who just can't comprehend respect, love, or the balance of life. We do not join the invading madness. From the way they act, it speaks of spirit sadness. Machine money progress is the cause of our common abuse. We see you, grandmother. We feel you. We love you. We know through your reality we will endure. We are one. We pray for you. We pray to you. Grandfather's whispering in the wind. Rejoice at the life you are a part of. Natural energy bound to natural laws. You will survive this temporary madness imposed upon you. Natural life is longer than oppressor's illusionary insanity. Spirits experience human deeds but need not end. This is just one place of changes. Spirit life is forever if you want. The universe is your home. You can survive here. Do not let them kill you. Keep your spirit strong. For distant stars and distant drums are the memories of spirit infancy. Children of Earth, let the spirit live so you can grow in your place in the universe.
Boom. Thank you. Thank you, John Trudell. Thank you, Ellie Painted Crow, for guiding him in. And we just, you know, John was born on the full moon, sun in Aquarius opposite the moon in Leo. Again, what is the unique creative contribution of the individual to community, right? And as Octavia Butler said, civilization is to community as intelligence is to the individual. We want an intelligent community, right? Everybody,
yes.
It's part of the medicine that we're brewing. Yeah, and he was born when Venus was in the underworld, right next to his sun. The image for it is strange white flowers are blooming in the midnight ruins of Babylon. We go, okay, John, mysterious, beautiful. And his Mars in Cancer conjoined Saturn. It's all humming right now, right? Dedication to protecting. Yeah, and Ellie, I'm so grateful to many things, but also the Standing Rock people for switching out the word protester to protector, right? And that's a lot of your book. Again, whatever we do for ourselves, it grants us the spiritual muscle tone to do that in the world. So, yeah, a very dedicated person, Mars, Saturn. And just as a footnote, and I'm always decolonizing everything, including astrology, because old fogey astrology goes, oh, Mars is in its detriment in Cancer. And it's like, no, it's an assignment to be a protector, to be a dedicated person, yeah. So that's wonderful and dedicated to the Earth. And Venus in the underworld when he's born. So, yeah, again, you know, wherever you want to go or jump in, we'll put some guidelines on our table about, you know, never adopting the language, the weapons, or the cruelty of the oppressor, right? Because that's part of your dedication too, right, Ellie?
Right, yes it is. And I just want to say that one of the things that he left us with, if he had a message to say in the future, would have been to recognize intelligence and its value. And I think we're at that point where we really need to think about things more than we need to say them. Think about what we're saying because it matters. And I think that's an important message at this point, that we really need to value our intelligence and use it wisely and communicate it wisely. So
yeah.
I just wanted to share his message.
Definitely. And we invite in all the help, the ancestors. This is such a powerful waxing full moon. So for everybody participating and listening, you know, who would you like to invite in? So John Trudell, Aquarius, full moon, chart humming all alive. He has much to give to us now. David Graeber, also an Aquarius, sun opposite Uranus and Leo, just coming in. I would love to introduce the ancestors. It's like the David Graeber, great historian of community. Meet John Trudell. Meet Rafit Alarir. Meet Vine Deloria. Meet Harriet Tubman for navigational guiding in the great turbulent sea. So I you know, we believe nothing, but we entertain possibilities. It's a great time for entertaining. And, you know, for you, Ellie, for all of us, you know, who would we want to invite in? So that's a backstage tea party I'd like to convene, because Rafat Elarir, a great Palestinian cultural leader and poet who was sun at 29 Virgo, and when he was assassinated, the moon was at 29 Virgo, whose image is an emergency call. So all the ancestors are kind of extending to us. And I love Rafat Elarir. When he was in this country, he said, you know, the settlers, the white settlers and pilgrims came, and they go, this is our land. And he said, indigenous people with whom he was talking said, if this is your land, what are the stories that the land is telling you? And Rafat said, of course they had none, right? And that idea of, you know, stories connected to the land. And you love where you live, right, Merced?
Yeah, well, it's home, and I've made it home for quite a number of years, called decades, and yeah, it's a beautiful place for me.
And it's close to Yosemite, and our, yes. we do a shout out to Ron Kalk, and I was thinking, you know, the movie Flow is so wonderful, and it's even most wonderful on an actual screen. And even though services are being cut all over, it's like maybe there could be a cultural event at Yosemite, a playing of the movie Flow. I'm just putting that out to you. Ooh. Ron Kalk, you know, and Ellie, it would be great to have a gathering to watch the movie Flow, and then to flow afterwards in community, because all of this is about not letting people, let's say, embracing the embrace of community. We'll get to Mahmoud Khalil and seeing him free as a crucial thing. And then I guess I just want to bring in Viktor Kravchuk. Okay, he is a Ukrainian whom I encountered, I can't remember, right? But synchronicity is really at work for all of us, that it's really great. And he wrote an article, I will put the link in the Visionary Activist Patreon, but also just, you know, everywhere, you know, on why Trump needs you to hate him. And I know this is something, you know, that you're really dedicated to, Ellie, in just a little bit too, because he says why Trump needs you to hate him, and he talks about, you know, I have, you know, every justification to hate, right? And this is, I think, one of the medicines we want to brew, which is like when I was in South Africa, I met people who had every reason to be bitter and who were, and then I met people who had every reason to be bitter and who weren't. You know, and John Turtell was working it. He was working it to be insightful but not jaded, right? That's part of our
right.
medicine brew. So just a little bit of Viktor Kravchuk. He says, Trump is not powerful because he is wise or competent or even particularly skilled. He is powerful because he has mastered the ability to make people hate him just enough to keep him relevant. And that is what must stop. Hating him plays into his hands. It makes him the center of attention, which is the only thing he truly values. It makes him the focal point of every conversation, every election, every crisis. If we truly want to defeat Trumpism, if we really want to stop this cycle of division, then we must take away his greatest weapon, which is our hate. Isn't that good?
Absolutely, absolutely. I wanted to share, you know, a lot of people are probably in fear or confused or in place where you're just unclear. And I want to say that indigenous people knew he was coming. There is a Hopi prophecy that talks about the man with the red cap, the red hat. And so they spoke about it in 1972. And there was an urgency back then, and we are there now. So that's also an invitation for people to listen to that prophecy. You can find it on YouTube. And so it's not a surprise to a lot of us. We knew this was coming, and we don't see this as a time to be fearful. It's really an opportunity for us to create what we want. We're so easy to say what we don't want, but if we can say what we do want and we're clear with that, we can set an intent and we can work towards that. We're spending a lot of energy arguing and hating and backlashing at the people who voted for him, and it's like it was meant to be that. And this is the opportunity to create the change that we want. Things have to fall in order to be rebuilt, and it's not a place to be fearful. It's a place to start planning. So I just wanted to share that. We can change our energy, you know, with our intent. And you know, and it happens quite easily. I just want to share a little story here. The other day I was in the parking lot parking, and I was telling a friend of mine in the car, saying, I need to fix a small dent in my car. And I was talking about it, and I got off my car, and this man walks up to me, and he goes, I could fix that dent for you for this amount of money. And I'm like, really? And I'm like, you can? He goes, oh, you got a couple of small dents. Let me fix that for you. And I'm like, wow, I just spoke it, and it happened. And it happened for this talk, too. I was talking to a friend of mine the day before we talked, and I was telling her, I really would like to get somewhere where I could talk about, we need to get over this, you know, FAFO thing or whatever they're talking about, you know, kind of blaming the people who voted their whatever they believed. And really, we got to stop that, because that's what keeps that energy, that negative energy growing, that division. And it's like, you talk about forgiveness and your definition of it, and I think this is really a good time to implement that, you know, giving it a space for things to change, right? And I really want to speak to that. I'm glad you shared that writing there, and about negativity has to be fed. And if you're watching all these things and criticizing and, you know, arguing with people on it, you keep that negative energy very, very strong. And so rather than fighting about it or arguing or debating or whatever people do now, we need to think about what can we do in our responsibilities as human beings to ourselves, to our family, to our communities, to the planet. This is the opportunity for change if we take it. So
yeah. It's the assignment. It's the assignment again. The medicine brew and the full moon in Virgo. This lunar eclipse. Blah, 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 blah. It's the power of language craft, and it's in a beautiful cahoots with Mars. Remember, each night, you know, when you step out, there's a participatory poem in the sky. You know, for all of us, we see Venus and Mercury setting. You know, very low after sunset. You know, and Venus is descending into the underworld. She'll disappear after March 19th, right before the vernal equinox, when Amikayla and I will be doing a Zoom. More on that at our website. But yes, and then Venus and Mercury tonight, you know, you can see it if it's right after sunset. And then Jupiter, very bright, you know, going, tell the stories, circulate the stories. Telling the stories is what's created pushback on some of the more violent, churlish, cruel, you know, things being imposed. We go, tell the story. And then Mars, bright, you know, red, you can track it. And so, you know, Mars, the protector, absolutely. And it is, I'll say it and translate it, you know, but just let it hum in everybody's heart. Mars trines Saturn. So everybody's dedication now is a powerful thing to do all around. You know, what is our deepest dedication? To protect all life. And that's the movie Flow, and our last week's radio guest, our frequent Aaron Kuffel, and many things, protect, be kind, let it out. And I just want to do a little more of Victor. Victor's offering. He says, Putin thought he could break Ukraine by force. Instead, he created a Ukraine more united than ever. Before 2014, before Crimea, before Victor is Ukrainian right there and right now, before the full-scale invasion, Ukrainian identity was still forming. Russian aggression erased all doubts. It turned cultural differences into shared determination. It turned regional disputes into a national cause. It turned an independent country into an unbreakable force. And now Trump is using the opposite strategy to achieve the same outcome, but for his own benefit. He does not care about governing. He does not care about national strength. He does not even care about winning in the way that most politicians do. What he cares about is control through division. because a fractured society is easier to manipulate. He knows exactly what he's doing when he proposes absurdities, right? He understands something fundamental about hate and polarization. His supporters will never leave him because of what he says, but his opponents will hate him more with every word, right? And he feeds on that. He feeds on that. Turning allies into. It's really good. It's, you know, remember that wonderful saying: tyrants don't care if they're hated as long as the people don't love each other. You know, and what you said about, you know, to throw into the cauldron, into the lunar eclipse cauldron, you know, people going, well, they voted for him and they should be. You know. It's like, no. The liberating power of betrayal, which is sweeping the land, you know, calls for a community embrace, right? It just, oh, let's come over here to a better story. And I love Tim Walz emerging feisty, because it's like, you know, what this is doing is no more incrementalism. This is universal health care for all. This is paid family leave. This is, we're not, but go full on, right? And he says, and let's talk about, you know, Nazis and fascists, and, you know, and he's holding town halls in red districts, and it's like, yeah, but we have teammates everywhere. You know, it's a great medicine. And then let me toss it to you. I like tyrants don't care if they're hated as long as the people don't love the earth, right? So let's
absolutely
love the earth.
Absolutely. I think that colonization has had a really big impact on all of us, and we've stopped being citizens a long time ago, and we're now called consumers, and it's pretty addictive, right? That we want to keep our stuff, and we live in a triangle instead of a circle, and so we have this hierarchy that you know keeps us oppressed, and now it's everybody. You know, for 500 years it's been certain people. Now it's all of us. We're in it together, and we won't get out of it unless we work together, and that's about taking the responsibility of that we've given away. We need to take it back, and our government is there for the government's cause. You know, we have to be here for each other, and we have to think about how we can build community, because these generations, I don't think they know community the way I knew community back in my day, where, you know, your neighbors could scold you if you did something wrong, or there was always somebody looking out for you as a kid. But it's a practice that we have to remember. We have to remember and see what our personal responsibility is to ourselves and to our families and to our communities, and what right actions that we can take in order to move forward, instead of sitting here and feeling like there's, what do I do? What can I do? There's lots of things that we can do. And talk about those things. Are we prepared for what might happen? You know, it's really important. We're always thinking, oh, it can never happen to us, but it's happened here before. We just don't remember history. So I think that recognizing that this is not the first time this has happened to a people on this,
no,
here in the United States, is like, remember the history. This has been done before, and we've worked through it, and now it's all of us.
Well, this is really important. You know, it's like, so we've outsourced our our Saturn, our authority, to the Inquisition, oligarchy, griftology, hybrid monster, right? So we do, exactly as you say, want to insource everybody together. Inhale Saturn autonomy. It lives right below our navel. Insourcing. So everybody, you know, if we all did what we knew, we'd be in great shape. Everybody insourcing Saturn to be self-possessed rather than possessed, right? Is to suck the chi out of outer tyranny, you know, and the whole realm of community. And we're going to turn now, but it's in honor of the lunar eclipse, you know, that all cultures, you know, knew that their artfulness at powerful times like this. In Egypt, there's a powerful dance, we're going to play it, called Azar, and it's Egyptian exorcism. And this is by the wonderful ancestor, late great Omar Khurshid, who was the first electric guitar player in Egypt. And he does, it's in keeping with our assignment now, Mercury stationing at the degree of, you know, a scholar brings fresh expression to old symbols, right? For all of us to bring it alive, like your book, Ellie. And so he does that. He translated the Zohar, the Egyptian exorcism, and all cultures have had something like this. And it's you'll hear it. It's spooky. It's long. We're going to play the whole thing because it's redemptive and it's in keeping with the let's really do full moon magic together team. So you'll hear the spookiness of the underworld, and the music takes the dancer in all of us down to the ground, and she thumps the earth, thump thump, and takes on the demons of the community, and works them. Cuba has these things, these dances too. Well, everywhere does. We're remembering these things now, and then turns it into joy and nutrient for the community. So we're going to play this. We're going to play this Omar Kharshid thing. It's 7 minutes. Hang in, and I invite everybody just to participate. You know, in the freedom of your own home. You know, go down into the underworld, touch the earth. Walla 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 walla. You know, take in the demons of the community, cook them. Invite in what we need, and then send it forth. You'll hear the whole thing. So here we go. Here's Omar Kharshid, and his spooky animation of what we need now, which is the Zohar, the Egyptian community exorcism music ritual. Here we go. Thank you. I couldn't cut it because we might have left some demons uncooked. This is Carolyn Casey, Visionary Activist Show, and our wonderful guest is Ellie Painted Crow, and we are inviting everyone to participate in the waxing lunar eclipse being proffered to us. Right? I hope people were undulating. I hope people were undulating. You know, just again to move, to take on the demons of the community, to cook them, to cook them. It seemed like a good idea. Does that encourage you to undulate, Ellie Painted Crow?
It's a great idea. I love that. I love that. That was wonderful. And I, you know, there's magic in the air, and we just need to acknowledge that, embrace it, and give direction to our intent. This is like the time to do that. And I just invite people to, what is your intent? What is it you want? We all know what we don't want, but we have to be clear on what we do want and spend our time and our energy in that instead of in anger or in hate. It's a time to recreate. It is, a new world is coming and we get to choose what we want, but it takes work and it takes responsibility and it takes action. And so I think that music, that whole thing is just shakes it up. It shakes it up in a really good way.
And,
yeah.
And it's like cooperators are standing by. They're eager, you know, for us to, you know, just thump, you know, and cook the demons, going, all right, there goes tyranny and churlishness. And we're ladling out, that's the eclipse dynamic, ladling out kind kindness and how we want to be. You know, and,
yes.
And part of our, yeah, so that's great. So, yeah, and part of our guiding story for everybody is, you know, Venus descending lower and lower each night. She's on her farewell tour, and she'll disappear from the night sky. For 40 days, but she can't leave us unsupervised, so she'll be back as the morning star. She'll be back as the morning star around the 29th of March, according to our latitude, whenever each person sees. If you get up before dawn or stay up before dawn, somewhere around the end of this month, the beginning of April, one will see the heliacal rise of Venus when she returns from the underworld as the morning star, which is her or his kick butt, trickster, liberator. You know, and it's all about a culture recognizing that leadership has become corrupt. And Venus, in the form of Quetzalcoatl or Inanna, you know, goes to the underworld, and we with her, him, them, to gather woof for the whole next chapter. So we get these repetitions of generosity to us. You know, a lunar eclipse, where do we want to see shadow, you know, and how to emerge fresh? Venus descending into the underworld, you know, in Aries, about finding wise leadership, going back into Pisces, the realm of vision, to return, you know, and we go, all right, and we with her. And I just want to toss it, you know, to you and to all of us. If we don't know the myth, if we know the myth, we can participate and have freedom.
Yeah.
If we don't know the myth, we're still possessed by it. Because just to say it again, you know, we'll repeat, but it's useful. So in Mesoamerica, Venus is Quetzalcoatl. And he's tempted by Tezcatlipoca, the Lord of the Smoking Mirror, to drink this balche, this intoxicant. And he does, and he goes mad and, you know, issues presidential edicts and all kinds of nonsense, and is cruel, and sleeps with his daughter. And he wakes up in the morning going, oh. And the community would understand, in everyone, it is now time for the whole community to go into a deep place to invite back responsible leadership dedicated to collective well-being. So Quetzalcoatl goes away. And then to return as the morning star. And it is a terrible, historic misfortune that Cortez shows up at the heliacal rise of Venus, and they mistake the man for the myth. Always a bad idea.
Mm.
And the Republican Convention in 2016, I saw it. It was the same thing. It was the heliacal rise of Venus. Those people at the Republican Convention did not know the Quetzalcoatl myth, but they were possessed by it, right? And they mistook the little tiny Trump for the god. And I just want to say this to all of us, team. We get a repeat opportunity. We get a repeat opportunity to not inflate, you know, to distinguish between a cult and a community. Cult is the toxic mimic of community, you know, and power in everybody, you know, That's kind of what we're brewing. And so the Helical Rise of Venus is for us all to go, right, leadership born in the community, born in each person, you know, to not be projected onto all those beings out there. Because Ellie, I mean, you constellate women's groups and women who've undergone challenging things in the military and elsewhere, you know, and just that idea of community embrace, right? Isn't that part of your great dedication to that we care for each other?
It's absolutely important. I've had to walk two worlds, the world of, you know, being a soldier and the world of walking a spiritual path, the Red Road, and have to cross the street a lot of different times but maintain my spirit no matter what's happening. And so, you know, I don't know. For myself, I think that I don't look at the right and the left as being things that I want to stand for. Native people say the right and the left wing are on the same bird. So, you know, I think we need another bird. And really just invoking what we want, not what we don't want, and creating that community. It's really, really important that we hear each other, that we understand each other, that we speak to each other kindly, that we're giving. And in our world, an indigenous world, the richest person is the person who gives away, not the person who possesses. The person who gives away the most is considered very, very rich. And we've just forgotten how to be that way with each other in so many spaces. Everybody's, you know, focused on what do I want or what do I don't want, and not focus on what do I want for my life or for my children's life. And this is affecting the next seven generations, so it is our responsibility to spend our energy where we want it to go, because what you think about most is what you create. And so if you're living in fear, that's what you're creating, and that's helping the people that want to take these things. And it's an opportunity. It really is an opportunity to create. If we could let go of that fear and realize, and we each take some responsibility for what needs to happen or what we want to happen, then we can change this. We can do whatever we want. We just have to know that we're capable and we're strong.
Go ahead. And especially this night, it's the sun.
Yes.
And Saturn and Neptune, the power of imagination, you know, and Moon and Virgo in detail, and to rescue our team. So, and the power of storytelling to not let, say, Mahmoud Khalil, right, who has been kidnapped by ICE and taken to a detention center in Louisiana, this Palestinian American, taken from his pregnant wife. But there's a lot of story. There's a lot of people turning up going, oh, no. And this is also important. It's like, you know, many people for decades were dedicated to Leonard Peltier walking free, you know, and then, you know, some of us coming in late-ish too. But for us to see Leonard walking home safe, and he got home safe to the embrace of his community. And in the same way, you know, with Mahmoud Khalil, community embrace, you know, He's been taken to the toxic underworld, and you know, and we want to see him released. So we have a statement from his wife, read by his lawyer, I'm pretty sure. So here is the statement about Mahmoud Khalil. Here we go.
I will be reading a statement on behalf of Mahmoud Khalil's wife, who does not wish to be named. My husband was kidnapped from our home, and it's shameful that the United States government continues to hold him because he stood for the rights and lives of his people. I demand his immediate release and return to our family. His disappearance has devastated our lives. Every day without him is filled with uncertainty, not just for me, but for our entire family and community. Our loved ones are struggling with the pain and fear of his sudden absence. And yet, we are not alone. So many who know and love Mahmoud have come together, refusing to stay silent. Their support is a testament to his character and to the deep injustice of what is being done to him. Thank you.
Yeah, that's really crucial because he was singled out by the White House, right? Because he was one of the organizers at Columbia University of, you know, Stop Genocide Pro-Palestine, and that's been twisted into like, oh, he supports Hamas. No. Right. So again, let us all, you know, tell the story. Let us all be aroused. You know, let us all extend the embrace, you know, and to see him again against all odds. They're holding on tight, right? But Neptune says, salve e coagula. Imagine the grip dissolving, and the magnetic pathway, you know, of our dedicated desire and the power of this full moon. Let's go, team. You know, and Venus going to the underworld and then emerging. You know, so to see Mahmoud Khalil restored to his community and his wife, who is due to give birth next month. Right, so... Yeah, so I think that's really important. And, you know, there's so many violations going on now. Reading Egyptian Book of the Dead, I have so many relatives who've died in the last month that, you know, it seems good. And I also am very fond of Elizabeth Peters' great detective series, the Amelia Peabody series set in Egypt early, or, you know, 20th century. But she says the ancient Egyptians had no word for conscience, but the heart, which was the seat of intelligence, was the witness for or against a man or woman when they stood in the hall of judgment. You know, people talk about, you know, when people die, you go through your the list of things for which you are sorry or whatever, you know, in the hall of judgment. And then the character saying, I had not driven away the sacred cattle. I had not stolen milk from the mouths of babes. That's very specific in the Egyptian Book of the Dead, and that's what the regime, this current regime, has stolen milk from the mouths of babes. You know, I have not taken the lives of men. I have not lied. O thou who makest mortals to flourish, I do not curse a god, O thou of the beautiful shoulders. I am not swollen with pride. The Ten Commandments were actually stolen from the Egyptian Book of the Dead. They were, right? The Ten Commandments were stolen.
That.
They violate their own commandment by stealing it. And because in Egypt, it's not commandments, no boring commandments, rules. It's professions, like what you were talking about, you know, LA, and what we're dedicated to. It says, I have not, you know, killed. I have not committed acts in lust. I have not taken milk from the mouths of babes. I have not. Not thou shalt not. I have not. It's a profession. And the powerful living Egyptian symbol, I have a big version of it behind me just to remind me, it's the heart being weighed against a feather. When you go into the Hall of Judgment, your heart is weighed against a feather. I think this is useful for all of us all the time, but especially at this eclipse time right now, going, oh, where is it heavy? And if one's heart, you know, is heavier than a feather, then nom nom, the alligator god eats you. Ah, nom 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 nom. And it keeps going, you know, you get another chance undoubtedly. But if your heart is, you know, lighter than or equal to the weight of a feather, then you proceed into the thing. I think this is so useful, you know, for all of us. You know, I was reading this and reminding myself of this all the time, going, heart, you know, if we're full of grievance, like, or what we were talking about, Ellie, you know, the reason I wanted to bring up also Victor's beautiful work, Ukrainian, is that, you know, in social media and beautiful blue sky, but all of it is like, who hates Trump more than me? Ooh, I do. Who hates the... And, you know, what you were saying, what we were saying is right now this language craft, whatever we say, we get more. You know, and the Dementors, you know, feed on polarity and they do horrible things, which makes us polarity. And then they feed on that. So it really requires an evolution, right? Something to which you're really dedicated and is in your beautiful book, Why You Matter, you know, about... to release grievance, right? Where it's an ongoing thing every day because there's the sneaky entanglement, right?
Yeah, well, you know, I guess a lot of that is we have to start with ourselves, you know, and to heal those parts of us so that we can work into our families and into our communities and bring those healing practices that we bring to ourselves so that we can grow this. And that's kind of why I wrote that book. But it starts with you. It starts with you yourself. And once you can work through that and find out what needs to be healed in you, and if you don't heal it, you're going to be sick. You're going to get diseases. You're going to have mental health issues. And all of that is, you know, you got to heal your spirit. Got to heal your lineage. You got to know your lineage. You got to know who were your villains and who were your heroes in your lineage, so you know what energy you're carrying and how to move that forward. So it takes some personal work to move into this place of responsibility, you know, this place of action, this place of knowing what to do next. Even if you don't know what to do next, your heart knows what to do next, you know, and listening
right.
to that.
And I think this lunar eclipse, this powerful time, this Mercury stationing, this Venus going to the underworld, you know, for all of us, like, you know, I raised my hand certainly with everybody. Are there things we would like to change about ourselves? We go, mm-hmm. It's an opportunity. You know, our whole life is art. And the Virgo quality of now says, well, just make these tinctures, these homeopathic tinctures, you know, 3 drops of Harriet Tubman and, you know, 4 drops of, you know, South Africa, not bitter. I mean, all these things brewing. And St. Patrick's Day, I want to fit this in before we deconvene. So on tomorrow, well, the government might shut down. We don't. But it's Veterans March Day. March 15th is Women's International Day, but it's also the Media March. We're on our Amazon fast that started last week. I think it's going pretty well. I took it off my phone. No Amazon, no Whole Foods, right, for at least for the end of the month. March 20th, which is the vernal equinox, is Dress Like Zelensky Day. No suits, no ties, no costumes, and wear blue and yellow. I think that's fun. And that's when Amakayla Gaston and I will be doing our Kahoot Thursday after radio, 5 p.m. West Coast time, coyotenetworknews.com. We'll let you know more. And then, you know, St. Patrick's Day, just a brief homage, because it's March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, and Stormy Daniels' birthday. May she be protected, and her daughter. And then just briefly, because it fits with us, and I'll aspire to give you the very last word, Billy. But I love the story told about St. Patrick invited to a wine testing dinner, and he's given a cup of poisoned wine. And he holds the cup up to the light, and the poison rises to the top, and he blows it off like froth on a Guinness, and quaffs the drink, toasting everyone, including those who tried to poison him, causing the elders to go, a real initiate. So I love that. We've all been given a poison cup of wine. We could drink it. That would be a mistake. Or we could go, oh, I hate poisoned wine. Or we could transform it, right? And then if you just have, we're on our way out, but if I give you just this last minute or anything you want to
yes.
do.
Thank you.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. There you go.
I just want to say that our elders are also telling us that it's also the time for women to rise. Mm. And it is our time. It is our time to speak, to stand up, and to stop asking for permission. And so I want to read this one poem from John Trudell about women. And I just love it, if that's okay.
It's okay,
called,
it's quick.
Poetic Motion. Every day, every way, every day turns. Some say our fates are sealed. Any way the candle burns, the harvest is the yield. She isn't Barbie, but she's had her chance at plastic. She isn't hard, but she knows the difference some streets make. She isn't easy, but she's taken a long search looking for love. She isn't young, but she's not at as old as she feels at times. She isn't old, but she never really got over being young. She isn't running, but she's seen the rough in a world too tough. There's more to
Excellent.
It, but I'll hand
no,
it over
got,
to
we
got you.
To, we got to go now because the grown-ups are the wonderful yeah. allies are hopping up and down, but that's great. Thank you so much, Ellie Painted Crow. We are in cahoots. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Thanks always to Kirsten Thomas. I'm Caroline
Thank
Casey.
You.
Visionary Activist Show on Patreon and CoyoteNetworkNews.com for more information. We'll reconvene next week. Woof.